My name is Aaron, one of the pastors here at Metro Life Church, and if you're a guest with us today, thank you so much for coming. Thank you all for coming. You received a flyer in addition to your bulletin this morning. I hope you can stick around to enjoy the celebration, the fruits, and the inaugural day of just marking a significant accomplishment in the life of one of our young men as we dedicate the patio to the north side of the building. If you would turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, if you are really, really good at remembering past sermons, we were actually in this text on the Sunday right before New Year's, and we're going to revisit that passage this morning. And I want to tell you up front that I was part of this. A small portion of this was inspired by one of my modern favorites, Francis Chan. I was talking to Chris, and this is what I said to Chris. I said, what if we just rolled his sermon at church? And I just appreciate Chris' heart. He's like, well, you know, hearing from Francis Chan is great, Aaron, but we need to hear from you. And I appreciate that so much. I love that guy too, but he's not a part of Metro Life Church. We're here together, and so we want to see what God has for us. And for the guest, we have a mission here. It's simply love, grow, and share. And starting in the new year, we began to unpack what these words mean. And so we've taken our time with that a bit. We've had Vincent, as Chris shared last week, so we're returning to grow. I want to let you know something going back to a few weeks ago. For those who were here, Michael Craig's testimony, if you recall that, I just want you to know, as it does relate to your giving, one of the things we were able to do this week as a response and in part with that message was to send a gift to a local ministry that's taking place through a church that was planted right out of here, Redeemer Fellowship, as they are working in partnership with a house to bring people who are coming out of situations, trafficking other situations, to come have a safe place to begin to get healed and restored. And so through your giving, we participated in that and will continue to in the weeks ahead. So that's just a practical way your giving just is making a difference right away. And so what a joy it was to send that. But I want to come back to this grow theme this morning, and then we'll get to share in a few weeks before we return to Hebrews. We were preaching Hebrews, if anyone remembers. We are going to get back and complete Hebrews very soon. Would you read with me, and then let's pray together. 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 11. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power is granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, what reason? That we are partakers of the divine nature. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you'll never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Next Sunday, Christian's going to pick up the rest of this chapter, but for today, the title is simply this: growth, or spiritual growth. Growth in Christ is an equal opportunity. So as we're in our mission under the motif of grow, growing is an equal opportunity. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for, Lord, corporate song for singing. And thank you for, Lord, that refrain, do the impossible. Lord, beyond this passage, beyond anything that I would say, would you do that in our midst today? Lord, would you do the impossible? Lord, would you work miracles in our midst today? Would there be ways people could testify, there's no way this situation could have changed but God? Would you do that? Would you increase our faith for that, Lord, that we would actually believe that you can do the impossible, whatever it is that we're staring at, Lord? And Father, would you cause by your Holy Spirit your word to come alive in our hearts? Lord, this is one of these beautiful passages in Scripture where there's this tension. It is no tension with you, but sometimes because of our limitations, because we are not you, because we are limited, Lord, we don't always understand these things. Lord, we are simultaneously saved and called and set apart by grace alone, and you're also telling us to grow up. And so would you give us ears to hear? What are you saying through your word? May none of us get distracted. Well, wait, are we supposed to grow or is it grace? May we waste no time there today, Lord, and just say both together. Your grace making us grow as we go after your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. There are no lack of illustrations related to inequality. We live every day aware that there are inequalities all around us, right? Everywhere. I mean, I don't know how much you pay attention to the news, but I've been watching with interest this week just to see what's happening in Venezuela. And for all that is and isn't about, at its core, there's inequality. There are the haves, there are the have-nots, and someone's trying to make it right. And we were talking about this yesterday. My son was asking why the gas prices go up. I said, I don't know that it's all about what's going on down there, but I said, as for one person speaking, I'm willing to pay 29 cents more per gallon if it means maybe freedom for some other people somewhere else. I'm willing to do that because there's inequalities in the world. There's social inequality. There's income inequality. There are so many inequalities. Jesus said it this way in John 12, verse 8, you will always have the poor among you. And when he said that, that wasn't a cold statement. He wasn't at all suggesting that's okay. He was making the point that he was about to leave. And so when that perfume jar was broken over his feet and a beautiful thing was done for him, he wasn't saying don't care about the poor. He was simply saying, listen, I'm about to leave. The poor, here's a reality in this fallen world. The poor, those who are experiencing less, they'll always be among us. There is inequality in the world, right? However, there's something beautiful and glorious for us to grasp here in 2 Peter. In the one eternal thing, if you will, the one thing that matters more than anything else in this life and for forever is this: to those who've obtained a faith of equal standing. There may be inequality in the world, but there is no inequality in Jesus Christ. And Peter is driving this, amen, whatever that, yeah, okay, we could pause for that. There is no inequality in Jesus Christ. We may have a different social standing. We may be in a different monetary bracket. You may be filling out more tax papers than this one or that one. There's all that stuff in the world. You may own, you may not own. But in Jesus Christ, right at the start of 2 Peter, he's wanting to establish something very clear. And that is, we have equal standing. And I want to look this morning with you together at what it means to have an equal standing, an equal opportunity, and equal responsibility to grow in Jesus Christ. So this morning's more, not so much about the corporate aspects of how we grow, but our individual calling to partake of the grace that is ours in Christ Jesus. So look back with me at the passage. Equal standing, number one. Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. How many of us are apostles? We're all servants. How many of us have his job description? We don't. But that's not his stress. Right away, to those who've obtained a faith of equal standing with ours. Now, I don't know who you would select in Scripture or in church history, but who's one of your favorites? One of your favorite saints in Scripture? Is it Peter? I mean, he had a pretty amazing position, didn't he? 3 years with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. The church is going to be built by this guy. He's impressive in some ways. Or is it Paul? Is he maybe your favorite? Or John? Maybe Deborah? Maybe Mary? Who is it? You pick the person. And who through church history might that be? Whoever they are, and whatever it is we may think about them, there is this reality. You share something with them. I share something with them. We are equal in Jesus Christ. Peter is no greater in the kingdom than the unknown believer with nothing. In Jesus Christ, their standing is just as level as it is for Peter. It is the same. Now, he has a role. He has a job description. That may be distinct. But he wants them to know something right away. You have everything I have in Christ, the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're in equal standing with me in that place because of Jesus. Jesus is the reason Peter, Jesus is the reason you, Jesus is the reason I am righteous, forgiven, redeemed. Peter, an apostle, wants them to know this. You have an equal standing with me. Now, there's something going on that he's going to address culturally here going on, and that is there will be some false teachers coming who are trying to give the idea that you need to add this, you need to do that. So he's definitely speaking to that. We're not going to focus on that so much this morning as we are just on this glorious truth that every Christian needs to know, take hold of. We have equal standing. Equal standing. There's no one who has more, no one who has less. If your faith is in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that's where you stand. That's where I stand. Together, that is where we stand. And Peter wants to build on this, and he does build on this as he gets into verse 3 and down through 7. We've got equal standing, which gives us something else. It gives us together equal power or equal opportunity, if you will. Look back at verse 3 with me. His divine power, I want you to catch this, so look in your Bibles, please, so we see this together. His divine power has granted to who? To us or to all. His divine power has granted to us all, not to a few, not to the select, not to a minority group. No. His divine power has granted to us all, us all things. So it's not only it's us, it's not us, but well, you'll get this and you'll get, you know, Danny, you get access to this part of God and I'll get access to this. He has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, spiritual life. He's not given to us all the ability to throw a football like, I'm going to say, John Elway did. Tom Brady will later. I don't know. By the way, are we a Patriots or Rams church today? I just want to stir it up a bit. You know, are we? What are we? This is not the official church position. I'm going with New England, though. Okay. I'm going with New England. His divine power is granted to us all things that pertain to life, spiritual life. He's not talking about every earthly talent, but to our life in Christ, to godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which, here it is again, verse 4, he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you, but we could even say we, may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. This equal standing has given us equal access to power. His divine power has granted to us all things for our growth, all things for our maturity, all things for our ongoing change, all things for our perseverance, all things for our endurance, all the things we need to run this race. He's given to all of us who are in Christ Jesus. It's his divine power that's granted us to this. In other words, Human effort alone can't accomplish what God intends in our lives. Can't do it. Not on our best day. We don't have it in us alone to do that. I remember back in a church history class learning about monastics and monasticism, and there was a story about one of them who went out to live a solitude life, and that was a common thing in their day, to kind of cloister themselves off from the world and just try to grow. And so he literally went out into the desert, and this is what he said. This was his testimony. In the desert, the pleasures of Rome burned in my heart. And his point was this. He tried through human effort. If I just get myself somewhere and get away, that'll do it. That's going to make me holy. That's going to make me grow. That's going to make me change. And he realized when he got out in the desert, who went with him? Himself. He didn't need to be in Rome. Out in the desert, Rome was still burning in his heart. And he had that revelation that I can't do this. And as noble as that may seem, that is not what's going to do it. No, I need a power outside of me. I need divine power. And this is exactly what Peter's saying we have. His divine power has granted to us all. You don't have to run to the desert for this. It's here in Christ Jesus. Human effort alone will never accomplish the purposes of God in our hearts. And so God has granted us a new nature. We are partakers. Verse 4. Partakers of the divine nature. It literally means we are sharers. Think about that. We share God's nature. Now, we don't have it entirely. We're not just like him, no. But we share in his nature, as his children, as those who are the recipients of this grace in Jesus Christ. Do you think about that very much? I don't think about it enough. I am a sharer in the divine nature. I'm sharing in a very real way with who God is. And that's a gift that he's given to every single believer. Every believer, a believer by their very nature, shares God's nature. Amen? We have God's nature. And what that means, and this is why Peter can then go on to give these encouragements, these strong exhortations, it means if we have his nature, we can increasingly become like him. Right? That's his point. That's where he's going. We can increasingly become like him. And by the way, that is the aim of our salvation, is it not? To increasingly grow up in him who is our Father. To become more of a reflection of him. To image him more and more and more. Yes, through the struggles. Yes, through the trials. Yes, through the failures. Yes, through the sins. But over time, more and more. Reflecting who he is. See, partaker means something. Partaker means we're not passive. That doesn't work. If you're partaking of something, you're sharing in something. It's not a passive thing. It's not a sit back and let it happen kind of thing. No, we actually actively participate with this nature. Because we're partakers, because follow the flow of thought where Peter's going. You have obtained a faith. It was given as a gift. God set you apart from eternity past, called you by name. God has done this. God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God has granted to us, verse 4, his precious and very great promises so that through them we can actually share his nature, which is why now, after stacking that all up, Peter can say in verse 5, so for this very reason, you make every effort. Make every effort with what? Your own human? No, with your new partaking of the divine nature. Use that nature. Make every effort with that nature. You and I didn't give ourselves this nature, did we? No, when we placed our faith in Jesus Christ, it was given to us as a gift by grace, wholly, freely. But now that we have it, he calls us to make every effort with it. He goes on, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. Now, very important that we make clear what he's not saying there. Is he suggesting, is Peter suggesting we add on to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Not at all. Not at all. What he's saying, supplement, it's something that completes or it brings out, it enhances what's already there. Peter is not saying we add these things for salvation. Rather, these are the things that will depict, display, they will show your salvation. This is how the world will know you're my followers, these things. That's what supplement means. He's not saying virtues or any of these things that he lists in verse 5 through 7 will somehow make us saved. No. He's arguing that our faith, this is his point, our faith will take concrete form. It will look like something. As partakers, a particular nature will reflect itself, right? There are characteristics that go with that nature. These are those characteristics. These are the things that go with our faith in Christ: virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, love. We could add the fruits of the Spirit. There's other places in Scripture we could go. This is not exhaustive, nor is it legalistic. It's who we are. It's what we're called to reflect. But I'm not suggesting you all are this way. I can speak for myself in some ways, but do you pick it up in the spirit of the age? This language of make every effort kind of just, it throws caution flags up, doesn't it? Like, whoa, stop the make every effort train, pal. We are saved, say it with me, by grace. That's true. That's absolutely true. And that grace has changed you and changed me, and it wants to keep changing you and me. And it actually calls us to do something that doesn't swallow easy in 2019. Cooperate with it. Get in the game with it. Make every effort. It's not a contradiction. He didn't start in grace, he's moved on. No. This is what actually accompanies grace. You and I couldn't make any effort before we were in Christ Jesus. No effort that would matter. The only reason we can make effort now is because we've been given the grace to make the effort. I didn't make the effort. God put the grace in me to make the effort. Two people said to me recently, you know, one of your strengths, Aaron, is you say things in a general way that leaves people to think. That's really good. Aaron, you know one of your weaknesses? You say things in a general way that leaves people to think. So I'm not leaving it open. Yes, you and I have to make every effort in our faith. We have to. I see it in me. I see it. 28 years, 29 years on, wherever I am, there's no stop. Stop is death. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but eventually. It's death. Death in the ultimate, death in your spirit, death in my soul. Make every effort to supplement. I mean, who of us, just take love, who of us would say, I think I got it. Hey, Darren, thanks for that message on the Father's love a few weeks ago. We're good. You know, preach on, we don't need that again. We'll never need to hear about love again because we got, who would say that? Who would say that about anything in Christ? So these virtues, these qualities, he says, verses 5 through 7, they're self-explanatory. They're not a legalistic code, not at all. That's part of our battle. We just, you know, you've heard me say this so many times, right? We can be so petrified, so absolutely horrified at the prospect of being legalistic that we just don't say anything. Well, Peter's saying something. Make every effort with these things. They're not a legalistic code. They're reflections that we're sharers. It's how we depict we are sharers. It's how we show the world. It's how we show one another that we indeed have a transformed heart that's sharing God's nature. God is very much in the business of moral transformation. Very much in the business of moral transformation. These virtues, they're the result of faith. I wonder... That's why exactly he put faith first. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with these things, your faith in Christ, who has given you a new nature so that you can actually begin to display virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. These are, if you will, some of the proofs that indeed our nature is a divine, is a new one, and that we're sharing in it. And again, look at it. It's for us all. For us all. He's granted to us all things. So I cannot for myself, I can't look at verses 5 through 7 and kind of go, well, okay, I think I can handle steadfastness. I'll be steadfast, you be godly, okay? And together we'll all kind of, it's all of them for all of us. It's not, there aren't some who's like, well, you're more gifted with godliness than I. No, you're more gifted with self-control than me. God seems to have given you a special dispensation. No, we've all got it. We've all got access together to it if we are in Christ Jesus. And that leads, he's been getting at it, but verse 8, he kind of makes it crystal clear. We've got an equal standing. We've got access to equal power, which gives us equal responsibility together. And I think this is a message, not merely for Metro, just the church in America in general. Too many Christians are passively sitting back thinking their growth is going to come through other people. You make me grow. You do it. You should have let Francis Chan preach this morning, Aaron. He's a better preacher than you. He may be. Maybe you don't even think that way. Maybe you do. I don't know. But you know what? Francis Chan can't make anybody grow. Neither can I. I can't make one person in this room grow. But God can. God can. God does. God intends. Look at what Peter says. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's he saying there? Knowledge alone isn't enough. Whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted he's blind, having forgotten he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, all of us, be all the more. Here's that language again. Earlier it was make every effort. Now it's be all the more diligent to confirm your calling. Note the language. Be all the more diligent to confirm your calling. Not be all the more diligent to find out if you're called. Not to find out if you're saved. No, because you are, confirm it. Confirm it through these things. Again, keep the flow of thought clear. God's power is what enables us to do this. But as sharers, we need to share. We partake of this together. Here is Peter's expectation. A lifelong pattern of growing because we are partakers. You know, growth in Christ is a spiritual discipline. It's a discipline to grow, isn't it? Isn't that true in anything in your life? To gain, there's work. To gain, there's discipline. And that's what these qualities of verses 5 through 7 are demonstrating, that there's a work involved here. If these qualities are yours, if we're diligent, if we practice these qualities, verse 10. All that language that seems to put the responsibility on us, is it taking away? Is it competing with saved by grace alone? Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. I think there's something every Christian wants to hear at the end. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well, how will that be? How will that be? It's right here, 2 Peter 1. That's how it'll be. My growth, my personal growth, is my personal responsibility. Your growth spiritually is your personal responsibility. And this is the part I borrowed from Francis Chan. I was listening to him preach, and he was talking about, you know, Old Testament and Moses. And, you know, just this giant in the faith, Moses. And there's Israel all gathered at the base of the mountain. Moses is going to go up. He's going to go up for us. Because Moses gets to do that. Moses gets the access. He's the one who's going to go up for us. He's going to come down and we'll go huddle around him. What did God say? Tell us. You know what? Actually, before you tell us, would you put a veil on, Moses? A little much of the divine nature, pal. A little too much. See, it's never that somebody else has too much of the divine nature. It's what the connecting with it does to us. That's what was happening for Israel. It wasn't that Moses had too much. It's that they didn't have it. That's why they needed the veil. The issue wasn't with Moses. The issue was with them. Tone that down. Tone it down a bit, and then tell us. Tell us what God said. Now, we know that's Old Testament, but I could catch myself this way, sometimes thinking this way, that somebody else has more access. You know what I mean? Like, we subtly think that. Certain people just, they have an access to God I don't have. Church, you know this, I know you know this, I know you know this. The curtain was torn. There's no curtain. There's no place where that believer's permitted to, he can go to God that way, but I can't. No, that's been completely torn down. We're going to get back to that as we get into Hebrews, that the throne of grace is open for every believer. It's not just for a couple. It's not for a few. You don't have to get so far first. No. It's torn. By the way, you actually don't want Moses, really. You don't want Moses to be that one for you. Because guess what? He didn't make it. Nobody makes it. No one. You don't set your gaze so low. Don't. You want one better than Moses. You definitely want one better than me. I'm going to speak for Danny. You want one better than Danny. You want one better than Mike. You want one better than Chris. You want one better, way better. You want Jesus, and you have him. That's the beauty of what Peter's talking about. He's yours completely. You can run to him freely. Nobody in the way, no hoops, nothing. He's yours by grace. He's yours to pursue, but pursue you must. Can't be done for you. No one can do it for you. Here's what I have to preach to myself. Aaron, if you grow cold and stagnant, blame no one but yourself. Nobody's fault. Nobody's my Moses. And I don't want to be anybody's Moses. I want one. I need one better, and so do you. So if I'm stagnant, if I'm cold, if I'm adrift, if I'm whatever, why do I say that? Because we're living in times. I'm cold, I'm adrift, I'm this, I'm that. I probably need to switch churches. Okay. Yep. I'm coming in. Haven't been in the Word all week. Haven't prayed all week. Chris, you better deliver today, pal, because I need lifted up. Right? Is that the song set today? That's not the one that I needed. Is that the sermon, Aaron? Really? Put some slacks on. I can't listen to somebody in jeans anyway. Come on. This is happening all the time. All the time. Where we're relying or looking everywhere to anyone except where we need to be looking first and foremost. I want us to always be ascending church. Don't miss my point. Don't miss my point. Peter's talking to a church, but he's talking to individuals. You, brother, insert name, verse 10. Therefore, you be all the more diligent. Now, do we need each other? Yes. Community? Yes. Grow classes, yes. Next one starting on February 24th, by the way. Discipleship, yes, 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 and yes. But growth is still our personal responsibility. It's ours. It's ours. The initiative, the pursuit, the discipline. You know, I mean, imagine this conversation. I come in Tuesday morning, I go in Shane's office, we'll pick on him. You know, Shane, I haven't had devotions the last 2 days, and it's your fault. What? Excuse me? Why didn't you call me and remind me? Do you want me to call you and remind? I mean, I could do that, but had you even asked? No, but you should have just thought of it. Now, we don't say those things out loud, right? But we can act like that. I think it's a huge issue in the church, not Metro Life, the church. Just come on, do for me what I'm supposed to do for myself. Have you figured that out yet? That's what I'm looking for. Now, I've had some really kind comments. I mean that, sincerely. I didn't mean to be smart. Maybe I did, I don't know. I don't think I meant to be. Somebody asked me after church a few weeks ago, very kind gentleman, he said, you know what, you're looking good. You look like you've been to the gym. What are you doing? I go to the gym. That's the answer. I get in my car, usually with my son, and I go to the gym. And I got a membership, but I found something out with this membership. That silly little card attached to my keys, it doesn't work by itself. So I give this place money every month, but nothing changes with me. Like, I found this thing out. If I want to change physically, which is of little value, by the way, in Scripture, this is all going to fall apart to nothing. But if I want that change for as long as I'm on the earth and try to be healthy, try to be in shape, try to be ready to go do whatever God asks, this crazy thing happens. That little card alone doesn't seem to accomplish anything, even though I hand them money every month. $25 a month, come on, why do I have to sweat? Thank you. Thank you. I mean, I used to be a runner, and those days are done. And see, this is really why I got to the gym. Like, if you're a runner, eventually you just can't run as fast. It just doesn't work. But when you could lift nothing and then you can lift something, you feel like you're making progress. So I switched. And to hang out with my son. But this crazy thing, it's not even getting in there that does it. That's the crazy. I mean, okay, I'll drive my car there. I'll get there. I go through and get checked in. There's all the equipment's all around. You just walk around it, but nothing happens. Actually, you got it. Like, the bench press is an example. Like, you actually have to get on the bench. Can you imagine the audacity to make me pay money and then, I got to use this stuff? Yeah. You look like you're growing. You get a little stronger. What are you doing? Going to the gym and using the equipment when I get there. Actually using the equipment when I get there. You could park your car in that parking lot. You could walk right in here and get nothing. 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 I could preach my guts out. You don't want that. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? My growth, physically, spiritually, at the end of the day starts me. Now, there is this beautiful thing that does happen at the gym. You reach these points where you're pressing your own limit. You've reached your own. The analogy breaks down, but work with me. But you've reached your own capacity. And you need a friend. You need somebody there to help you out, spot you. It's the strangest thing. Who's done this? You can relate to this. Like, do you know, most of the time, most days of the week, if you're at that bench press and you start and there's nobody behind you, you'll lift a certain number of times. You put a person behind you right there encouraging you, ready to help you if you need one more. This crazy thing happens. You lift more. Oh, there's power in together. Don't misunderstand. But I'm saying this, that friend isn't going to be able to help me out at all if I don't get there. If I'm not there, he can't help me out. He can't help me out. Oh, we need community. But we've got to get there. So far, in my 13-month membership at the zoo, which is the name of the gym, not the zoo with animals, at the Oviedo Mall, every single time I've had to go to it, it does not come to me. The zoo has never appeared at 600 Field Club Circle. That's my home address. I've always got to go to it. Crazy thing. And give it money. Crazy thing. It's like that, isn't it? Brothers, be all the more diligent. If you practice these qualities, for in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, he didn't just switch back to a work salvation. Does Peter mean that there's layers of reward? He doesn't elaborate, but I think we can safely say this. Part of that rich provision in that moment of entrance into the eternal kingdom is to hear those words, well done. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Perfect servant? No. Never, ever, 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 ever stumbled servant? No. Good and faithful. A direction, a progression, a pattern for life. So what are the implications? Part of our mission is to grow in the Lord and together. Peter's not talking about earning our salvation, but I do think he's warning us about taking it for granted. If I'm stagnant, if I'm not growing, which, by the way, I think who has not had that season in their Christian life? Am I the only one? Walk in Christ long enough. You will have times, you'll have seasons where refining's happening, pruning's happening, different things are going on. That's normal. That's part of it. But if over time we're saying that, are we willing to start by looking at ourselves? Lord, what is it? Am I doing these things that I'm seeing here in 2 Peter 1? Because here's my burden, concern for so many, and I've seen the pattern too many times, and I don't have a person in mind, but it happens. It happens here. It happens other places. There's absolute, God calls people other places. My concern, though, is for the person, their autopilot thought is, I just have to change my externals. I just have to change my circumstance. I just need new scenery. That will do it. There's like Nirvana's over there. It's over there. It's the mountains of North Carolina. It's this. It's whatever it is. And I still remember. I remember. I was so mad at him the day he said it. I told you before, I tried to move to Florida when I was 20. And I was going to work for my cousin. And he had a job for me. And he just, I'll never forget it. He said, Aaron, before you move, I just want to say one thing. Whatever it is you're trying to leave behind in Pennsylvania will be here in Florida when you get here. Because whatever you're trying to leave behind is probably in you. Hated him for saying that. Don't you hate when people are right? I didn't know it. I didn't have a category. I think the Holy Spirit was telling him, this is what you say to that young punk right now. He thinks he's going to run 1,000 miles south and, it's all going to be bliss and palm trees. No, the problem is in you, pal. All you can do is take that with you. No matter where you go, it's with you. Maybe we need some new scenery from time to time. Sure. But not most of the time. Not most of the time. So start with yourself, as I must start with myself. Secondly, as you hear in these words, looking at this passage, does it raise your awareness of the struggle within? That you can look at, just take a look at verses 5 through 7. Maybe one of them is coming off the page at you. Where you might in your humility say, I feel like I've regressed. I think I was actually exercising more self-control last year. I was more steadfast. I was more godly. I don't know what it is lately. I am just loving people has become such a, you get the idea? You feel like that sometimes? Listen, if you're aware there's a battle within, do you know that's very good news? You wear that. If you're aware, if there's dissatisfaction, if there's tension, that's actually a sign of health. That's actually a sign that your new nature is at work and it's pushing. And it's trying to take more hold of you and me. And so that struggle, that's actually healthy. That's telling you something. That you're not satisfied. You don't want to stay in the same place. And that's something to rejoice over. God foreknew before you and I were ever walking with him that we'd struggle. He's well aware of that. And there's a reason, and we'll get back to it in Hebrews as we talk about it. We'll see that over and over. I mean, one of my favorite things about the Hall of Faith of chapter 11, if you will, is if you want to, you can go back and pick apart every single one of those saints' lives. Just go read about them. You know, I mean, I love that. I preached about him not too long ago, Elijah, James 5. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed it wouldn't rain. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. They prayed it would rain. It rained 3.5 years, okay? But then you go read about Elijah, who takes on 450 prophets of Baal and just this monster in the faith. And then someone sends a message. By the way, Jezebel's pretty ticked off right now. And she said, so help me if I don't do to him what he did to my prophets. And the guy runs. No faith. What do you mean, Elijah? Holding him? Yeah, God's well aware. So if you're aware of a struggle, if you're seeing something here and you realize, you know what? Friend, that is great news. That means your divine nature is at work. You've heard it said, but don't tire of hearing it. It isn't about perfection. It is about direction. It is about direction. And so, as I ask Chris and the team to return, I want you to ask you, take these words. To those who have obtained a faith of equal standing. Friends, at Metro Life Church, this is true in every church. There are no subpar Christians. Amen? There's no one lower than another. There's no one higher than another. We have a faith of equal standing. And that means together we've got the privilege of opportunity and equal power. Would you stand with me? We've got this. It's ours. Now, I know we're in February now. We're well into 2019. But could we together consider this? Yes, equal standing. Yes, equal opportunity, but also, yes, equal responsibility together to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we were praying this morning, there are a few words that just, it seemed good to us to have them at the conclusion. And so as we go back to song, let's just stay attentive to what the Spirit's saying, okay? Okay.